Let's open up our Bibles here today to the book of James. The book of James. And today I am going to go and read verses 2 through 4. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Again, I read out of my New American Standard Bible translation. I will have those words up here on the screen. James chapter 1, starting at verse number 2. If you have your place in your Bibles, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Good. So let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning for these three verses, verses 2, 3, and 4. James writes this as he was inspired by the Holy Spirit to do so. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. We'll stop there. Let's go to God in a time of prayer. Father, all your scripture is God-breathed and is useful for the teaching and training and correction of the men and women of God for us. Somewhere in these three verses today, Lord, you want to teach us something. So, Father, I just pray that your scriptures will reveal to us what it is that we need to know more about you. We trust that you will do this. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. We continue now here today in this expository study of the book of James, which means we're going to be spending a whole lot of time in this book. And this is week number 2. We just started this study. And I have titled today's message, The Testing of Your Faith. The exact words that James uses in verse number 3 of chapter 1. Well, we began this expository study last week with an introduction to James, the person himself, the author of this book. And we know that this James was the half-brother of Jesus Christ. They had the same moms, they had different dads. James's dad was probably Joseph, and we know that Jesus' dad was the Holy Spirit. And this morning I want to add one more fact to what we must understand about this letter, actually all 5 chapters of this letter that James has written. If I was to give you a summary of what this entire book is about and what James is telling his readers, it would be this. And I'm going to put it up here on the screen. You say you're a Christian? Prove it. All 5 chapters of this book are going to really put each and every one of us on the spot. We say we're Christians, and James is saying this. If you're a Christian, you're going to live it. You're going to prove it. Every Christian should say that they want to grow and mature in their faith, right? I think we all would say that. That they want to become, and we want to become, more Christ-like. The question really is, do we really want to become more Christ-like? Are we really willing and ready to face whatever it may be, whatever the Word of God tells us, to walk the Christian walk? Jesus gives us a reminder in the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 5, verses 44 and 45, what life in general is like. And he says this, "But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous." If I was to give you a summary of what those words are that Jesus said there in bold and underline, would be this. Folks, we're going to have good days And we're also going to have what? Bad days. They're just going to happen. And some of these good days and some of these bad days that we have may be because of decisions that we made. They're good days because we made good decisions. They're bad days because we made bad decisions. But some of our good and some of our bad days may be totally out of our control. Things just happen in our lives. So let's put James back up here again, verses 2 and 3, and let's see what James is saying, and let's talk about what James wants us to learn. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. I said that this entire book was going to be a book of test. We're going to be tested. Well, the first test of our Christianity that James wants to give us comes in the form of trials. Know this. I'm going to tell you something you already know. We are going to have trials in our lives. Amen? It's going to happen. The question that we need to answer is this. How must a Christian respond when we have trials in our lives? Let's look at these same two verses, and I'm going to put other words in bold and underline. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. What? Consider it all joy when we encounter trials? You got to be kidding me. Our first fill in the blank. A Christian considers it all joy when they encounter trials. No, wait a second. There's something wrong with these words. But let's look at what James may have been looking at. One way that James may have been looking at trials is in the light of persecution. We know that at that time, Christians were being persecuted by the Jews, and they were being persecuted by Herod. And many of these Jews who converted to Christianity, they dispersed to foreign lands. We talked about that last week, because they wanted to escape any kind of persecution. If they stuck around in the area of Jerusalem and Judea, there's a good chance that their life could have been threatened. So they left. So maybe James may have been thinking of persecution. But let's look at trials as we can look at them today, because I think this is really where James is going. We know that our trials today come in many various forms. And none of them are pleasant, are they? None of them are going to be pleasant. So let's be real and honest here this morning about trials. We experience sickness. We experience death in our families and with our friends. We lose a job and we can't pay the bills. Our children take wrong turns in life. The car won't start. The roof of our house is leaking. The furnace quit working, and I cannot afford a new one. My spouse just left me for another partner. And we know that this list of trials could go on and on and on. Added to that, we presently live in a country that is so divided that no matter what you think or what you say, somebody is going to hate you for it simply because they disagree with your way of thinking and with my way of thinking. To that I say this, thank you, social media, for bringing the human condition out into the open where everybody can see it. And we have come to the point in time, specifically in this country, where if your way of thinking is a biblical way of thinking, and the Christian does have the mind of Christ, we need to have a biblical worldview. If you have a biblical worldview, my friends, then you are now the hater. So, Beech Grove, if you think and act biblically, expect trials to come along in those lines of persecution. And just like those first century Jews that were converted into Christianity, they suffered persecution too. And we will too. I can guarantee it. It's just around the corner. It is going to happen. It's just a matter of when. Not if, but when. Mike. You are telling me that I must consider it all joy when these things, when these trials happen in my life? I'm to be joyful because my furnace quit working in the middle of winter and I can't afford to have it repaired or afford to buy a new one? I'm supposed to be joyful in those kinds of times? I'm telling us all that we need to be joyful because the Word of God is telling us that we need to be joyful. But, great transition word, but be joyful in what? This is where we need to define. The text in James never, ever, ever, ever tells us that we are to be joyful in the trial itself. A leaky roof, or my friend contracting COVID, or that car that refuses to start is not what's bringing me joy. Actually, those things in themselves are bringing me pain, and they're bringing me sorrow, and they're bringing me heartache. So where am I supposed to find the joy if I'm told to consider it all joy? And this is what we need to understand about this passage. Let's go to our second fill in the blank. This is probably one of the most important fill in the blanks that we've ever had. James is telling us to be joyful in what that trial produces and not in the trial itself. Okay, let me say that again. James is telling us to be joyful in what that trial produces and not in the trial itself. So let's look at the text and let's figure out what James is trying to tell us here. And I'll just read what's bold up here. When you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect results. Our trials test our faith. And it's the test and not the trial that brings us joy. We're being tested. We're being tested. In other words, James is saying, are you really a Christian or not? Because the test will prove that. And may I assure all of us, the world is watching how we respond into our trials. When we go through trials, too often, we can become overly consumed in that trial. It becomes our lives. It becomes us. And we become it. We take on the identity of this trial. And sometimes, just sometimes, we love wallowing in the misery of this trial. But, Christian, where is our identity? Is it in the trial? Too many times in our Christian walk, we forget whose we are. Too many times in our trials, we forget that we were bought at a price. And too many times in our trials, we forget that the worst thing that could ever happen to a human being, which is dying and going to hell, is never going to happen to me or to you. We become far too complacent in our Christianity. And we can do that both in good times and in bad times. And we forget that our identity really is truly in Jesus Christ. And our identity is not in our trials. Listen, I might not be happy that I have a sickness. And I might not be happy that my furnace is shot. And I might not be happy that my spouse left me for another partner. But I'm just saying, that is a trial that a lot of Christians go through. And this list, again, can go on and on and on. But what are these trials doing with our faith? And that's the ultimate question right there. Two choices. Are they drawing us closer to God? Or are they pushing us away from God? Because our trials will do one of those two things. Bring us closer or push us away. Our third and final fill in the blank would say this. A trial in the life of a person who claims to be a Christian will serve its purpose. It will unveil our true identity. God does allow trials in the lives of His people. Again, that trial is either going to drive us closer to God, and we end up saying something like this, Lord, I'm going through tough times. I need you. I really need you to help me get through this. I can't do it alone, Lord. Come on, I need your help. Or the trial is going to push us away from God, and we end up saying something like this, Lord, I guess you can't be real, because if you were, I wouldn't be going through this. The trial is going to serve its purpose to identify who we really are and who we identify with. And folks, this is the dangerous part about the health, wealth, and prosperity word faith movement that's going on out there in churches today, and it's so prevalent on TV. These charlatans will tell their people that God wants you well. They'll tell their people, God wants you wealthy. And they'll also say this, God wants you to be without trials. So what happens to these people when they have been fed this really, really bad theology for some time, and then bad things and then trials start happening in their lives? They might say something like this, well, the preacher told me that this wasn't supposed to happen to me. Either my faith must be really weak, or maybe God isn't real, or maybe I just didn't send the preacher enough money. Or who knows what else these people might be questioning. Now they have their doubts about God, and they have their doubts about their faith, all because they have been fed a pack of lies that the Christian life is one without trials. Folks, there can't be anything further from the truth. We will encounter trials. Amen? That is going to happen. James tells us that our trials have a purpose. Are we really Christians or not? Let's go to James 3 and 4. I'll just read what's bold. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. James is telling us this, that as we go through our trials, whatever that trial may be, that the true Christian will endure and his or her faith will become perfected, but only if we pass the test. So let's ask that question again. What are these trials? These trials that go through our life, be they just little trials or they're big monumental trials, what are they doing with our faith? Are they drawing us closer to God? Or are they pushing us further away from God? And let's make sure that we all understand this. I'm just going to put another verse up here. Our trials that we go through, they may well be very, very difficult. And our trials might not go away anytime soon. They just seem to be there the next day and the next day. But Job says this in Job chapter 5, verse 7. He says this, "For man is born for trouble as sparks fly upward." In other words, what Job is saying is we will experience trials. And let's face it, nobody went through trials more in his or her life than what Job did. He lost his whole family. He lost everything, pretty much everything. Now, he did get it a lot back later on, but he was in pretty bad shape. But if our trials test our faith, and if we pass that test, then we have the assurance of knowing who has us. We have the assurance of knowing who will protect us. We have the assurance of knowing who is going to guide us. And we have the assurance of knowing who is going to be with us every step of the way. The Christian says this, that these trials, when I go through trials, trials are not going to shake my faith. On the contrary, it's going to be my faith that's going to get me through these trials. Why? Because I know who's sitting on the throne, and I will endure, and I will persevere. Why? Because I will pass the test. I know who has his hand on me, and God has his hand on me. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, there's a parable about a sower and some seed. We're all familiar with it. The sower is throwing out the seed, and it falls on four different types of soil. And we know the disciples even asked Jesus, "Could you explain this to us?" And Jesus says, "Sure, I'll do that. We know the good seed and we know the bad seed, but there's two seeds in the middle. And one of those seeds," he says this in Matthew 13, 22, "and the one on whom the seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world, the trials, and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful." What Jesus is saying is this: you are going to have trials, my friend, and they're going to be a test of your faith. So what are they going to do? Draw you closer to God? Or are they going to push you away from God? Because they are going to do one or the other. And what Jesus is saying is this: for some people, they never had the faith to begin with. They had the lip service, but they never had the heart service. They would profess the faith, but they never possessed the faith. Let's face it, nobody wants trials in their life. And I'll be the first one to raise my hand. I don't like trials. I don't do well in trials. But when they happen, and they will happen, remember that it is your faith that is being tested. You are being molded into Christ-likeness. And that is what brings us joy. Now, I want to do something here this morning that I don't know if I've ever done before or not. But I'm going to move this kind of to the center. And one of the things that I want to say about trials is this: everything that James is saying is for the Christian. This is how a Christian responds to trials. But I'm going to ask a question: can a trial do good in the life of an unbeliever? Maybe. Maybe so. I'm going to invite somebody to come on up here. And David Dudley, would you like to come on forward here a second? There's only two people that know that this was going to happen this morning. David, you stand on this side, okay? Closer to the microphone, okay?
Okay.
Now, I know David might be a little nervous because most people are a little nervous when they have to stand in front of a group of people, but I'm up here with you, buddy. All right?
Good.
Doing all right? Yeah. He has no idea what I'm about to ask him. I'm going to ask him a series of questions, and just give me some truthful answers. At one point in time, just like the rest of us, Were you an unbeliever?
I was.
Okay. All right. I understand that recently you went through a bout of COVID.
Very bad COVID. Yes, sir.
Okay. And very briefly, could you tell the congregation what your bout of COVID, how bad it was?
My COVID was bad enough to where I was put in the hospital for about a week and some odd days. I was really, really sick. And I had no one around me except maybe a nurse running in and out each day. And it was just an empty room and me.
Okay. And it was life-threatening?
Yes. I felt that it was, yes.
Okay. Your life could have been snuffed away from you.
Yes.
When you went into that hospital with that COVID, would you say that you were an unbeliever?
I would.
Okay.
Yes.
Nothing to be ashamed of, David. No. We were all unbelievers at one time. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Something happened in our life that drew us to the Lord. But you went through a trial. Did the Lord have an effect on you through that trial, David?
He did.
In what way? Would you like to share that with the congregation?
Well, I was in the hospital and I was really, really sick and I didn't know what to do. I had nowhere to turn. I was looking at my family out of 6-inch glass, really couldn't talk to them, couldn't put my arms around anyone. So I just asked myself one day while I was standing in my room walking around, what more can I do? I have nothing to turn to or no one to turn to. Then I asked myself, have you tried Jesus? And I asked Jesus Christ if he'd be my Lord and Savior. And that just relieved a big burden off of me. Mm-hmm. And not really knowing at the moment what was going to happen, but I felt within that time things were getting better for me. And I felt that things would get better for me.
Amen. So. In the life of an unbeliever, so often we push Jesus away. We push God away because we can do it ourselves. Sometimes trials happen in the life of a person that brings a person closer.
Yes.
So now you can stand up here with 100% confidence in saying, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior.
I can. Yes. And I know. I also know we all fall back a little bit, but we all bounce forward. Mm-hmm. And yes, I can. Yes.
Amen. Beach Grove, we have a new person in the family of God. Isn't that awesome? So, David, thank you for your little testimony here. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
And it's glad that you can come on up and share this with the congregation.
Thank you.
But I just wanted to tell the congregation that trials, yes, what James is talking about is trials in the life of the Christian. How do we handle it? But trials also can have an effect on the unbeliever and draw us to God. In David's situation, I'm sure David had heard about Jesus. If he lived with Teresa any length of time, he's heard about Jesus. If he's been around the Lipscombs, he's heard about Jesus. But sometimes our hearts can be like rocks, can't they? And we just don't want to budge. We don't want to budge. We don't want to budge until something happens within our life that we say, white flag, I surrender. Lord, I'm yours. Dad, I'm so glad that you're on our side now. Good to have you with us. Trials, they are going to have an effect in all of our lives in some way. Expect them because they are going to happen. How can we use them to glorify God?